Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In my years as a pastor, I found that, you know, even though I pastor people who are very different, who some of you vote differently, you're different ages, you come from different backgrounds, speak different languages, you all share something in common. Well, most of you. You want to be happy. We all, and I know somebody in the first service said there are some people, Pastor Laura, who do not seem to want to be happy, like they are actively trying not to be happy. But I think that's the exception, right? I think most of us, when we're talking in our own hearts, when we're being honest with ourselves, we long to be happy. We long for our families to be happy, to come home to places of peace and joy and happiness. We long for our children to be happy. I hear you say that all the time. I just want them to be happy. If we're thinking about it, we really want our bosses to be happy, don't we? We'd really like that, for our boss to be happy. We'd love for our colleagues to be happy, to go to work with happy people. If we have direct reports, we'd like for them to be happy. Who here wants angry neighbors? No, I want happy neighbors. I want to drive on the road with happy people. Don't you? We're still working on it, right? Still working on it. But we want to be happy. In fact, in our foundational documents in this country, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's one of the things that we want at the core of our being. But we come to church, we're people of faith, and this question grows in our mind. Wait a minute. Is that okay for a Christian to want that? I mean, I know it's okay if I want hope and faith and love and joy. That's very spiritual. But happiness? Maybe that's a little secular. I've even, maybe like me, you've read a devotional or heard a sermon that encouraged you to put happiness down and go for the more spiritual value of joy. Have you ever heard that? I've heard a lot of messages on that. And I have good news for you today. Are you ready? That is wrong. Yay, that's wrong. Happiness is a deeply biblical concept. It's not something we should just leave to the pagans out there and say, oh, I'm going to be spiritual and just be joyful all the time and never happy. No, God wants us to be deeply, faithfully, truly, unshakably happy. It's just that the way we go about it is going to be different than the way the rest of the world is trying to go about it. There are some wrong ways to go about it. There are some right ways to go about it. But you don't have to pick between joy and happiness. You can have both. God wants you to have both. So let's dig in and find out what the biblical grounding of happiness is and the path that we walk to find it. So first of all, in the Old Testament, we're going to be in the Old Testament, one of the words for happiness is ashrei. Ashrei. It means happy and blessed, both of those things. Now, just a little fun fact. There's a name that comes from this, which is also a biblical name. The name is Asher, and that is what we named our third child, because when he was born, we felt so blessed and so happy. So that's where that name comes from. Happy and blessed, both of those things. Now, this is the interesting thing about the Hebrew language. In English, we have 171,000 words to pick from. Not the professors up at UTRGV. They've probably got like 300,000, right? We, everyday people, have 171,426, okay? when we want to talk to each other and express ideas. Take a guess in your head how many words are in ancient Hebrew. Just think, okay, I have 171,000. Do you have a kind of a guess in your mind how many words there are in ancient Hebrew? 7,000. 7,000. There are 4% of the words you and I use every day in just normal conversation. Ancient Hebrews had 4% of those words. And I tell you this because it'll help you understand why a lot of our Hebrew words are doing double and triple duty, sometimes quadruple duty, is because they didn't have a lot of words, so they had to go a lot, they had to really make them count. So Ashrei means happy and blessed. In English, we're like, well, there's happy, and that's one thing, and then there's blessed, and that's another thing, right? Because we have 171,000 words, so we can just throw the words around and make them mean different things. In Hebrew, it's both. Ashrei is happy and blessed. So when translators are translating from the original Hebrew and they get to Ashrei, and in the Psalms, it occurs 45 times, just in the Psalms, they have to make a choice. Will they put happy or will they put blessed? And what we find very often is they skew towards blessed. And I can't tell you, but probably, I mean, I don't want to cast shadows on them or anything, but probably that just sounds a little bit more holy. Blessed is the one who, blessed is the one who. But very easily we could read, happy is the one who. Happy is the one who. And so when you're reading your Bible and you hear something about humanity feeling blessed, you may have come across the word Ashrei, and you might just experiment with what it sounds like to put the word happy in, which is the other translation. Equally valid. So here's a few of those verses that you may have read blessed. This is with happy. This is from the NRSV. Happy are all those who take refuge in God. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. 45 times just in the Psalms. And when we come to the psalm that we're talking about today, the one that sets off the Psalter, so this is going to kind of set the tone for everything that comes after it in the book of Psalms. What is the book of Psalms about? Well, it's about how to be happy and blessed in your relationship with God. That is the first word in the Psalms, is the word Ashrei. Happy and blessed are those who. So Psalm 1 is going to lay out for us, not just, it's going to tell us that happiness is biblical and we're okay to want it and God wants it for us, but it's going to tell us how to get there. The real true path to happiness that's lasting and faithful. And interestingly enough, God begins not with what to do, but what not to do. So happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. So you could think of this as happy are those who do not walk or stand around with or sit down with people who are mocking or scoffing or sinning. Okay, so the first thing is we have to watch who we're with and the words we're listening to. And we see this, one of the best examples to me is the story of Rehoboam. He's one of the kings in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 10. And he has some big shoes to step into. His father was Solomon, okay, wisest man who ever lived. So imagine being that kid, and Solomon dies, and now you're having to follow him. And on his coronation day, I imagine him in all his regalia. He's young. He wants to do a good job. He certainly wants for his nation to be happy, and he wants to be happy. And he's got big shoes to fill. And on his coronation, all the people come to him with their complaints. Well, that's kind of hard. They're not like, yay. They're like, and we need you to lower our taxes. And we need you to decrease the amount of work we're doing for the kingdom. Because we're worn to the bone by what your father asked of us. And Rehoboam's really wise here. He says, give me 3 days to think about this. And he goes to his father's advisors, and he says, what should I do? Because do you think any king, imagine a king thousands of years ago, do you think any king wants fewer taxes? They don't. They want, I mean, you know, the more taxes they get, the more luxury that they're living in. And he's thinking, the happier I am and the more the people are working, then the happier this will be, right? So this is hard. And he asks the advisors, what should I do? And his father's advisors say, we think you should be kind. And we think you should be humble. And we think you should give them what they're asking for. And it will be okay. Like, the nation will thrive and will flourish if you do this. And Rehoboam's like, thank you. And then he goes over and he gets a second opinion. He goes to the young guys that are kind of the equivalent of his drinking buddies. And he says, hey guys, these people are saying that dad wore him out with all the taxes and all the work, and you know, they want a break. What should I do? And his buddies begin to mock the people. They begin to berate the people and to say they're a bunch of whiners and complainers and don't listen to them. Flex your kingly muscles. And just go read in 2 Chronicles 10. It's pretty. One of the things that they say is, say to the people, my father beat you with whips, but I'm going to beat you with scorpions. I mean, that's tough, but it's also like, how do you beat someone with a scorpion? You know, like, these are scoffers, mockers, and sinners here, and their advice is not that great, but Rehoboam takes it. And he goes and he mocks his tired people. He wants them to perform, and he wants the nation to flourish and be happy, and he wants to be happy. But in taking that path and listening to the scoffers, sinners, and mockers, he ends up creating a civil war. And the kingdom breaks in two, and 10 of the 12 tribes leave him. And so he is left with so much less than this broken kingdom and this war and everything. He wanted happiness, but the way he tried to grab it, it just slipped through his fingers. And so God says, happy are those who don't listen, stand, or sit with scoffers, sinners, and mockers. So the first way we find real, lasting happiness is when we come to those pinch points that the students were talking about, right? Where we have to make a choice, or we've failed, or we've struggled, or there's something and we don't exactly know what to do. We should look for advice from God and from our brothers and sisters. But we need to make sure that it's not scoffing, it's not mocking, it's not sinful. That the people who are whispering in our ears are the ones that are encouraging us to the harder path of humility and service, kindness and love. Because God is saying, as we walk that hard, narrow path, that's when we become truly happy. And when we go after happiness and we try to get it for ourselves, that's when we find it slipping through our hands. So our first thing is just surround ourselves with people who help us walk the harder path. The second thing is what does bring us happiness. We won't find it by going after it. We won't find it externally to ourselves. This psalm says, happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Jesus said it like this, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the rest is going to fall into place. So the way we are happy and blessed, the way we find that long-lasting, eternal happiness, blessing, is we go after God with everything we have. We think about God's will in our lives. We think about God's love for us. We challenge ourselves to be more generous and more kind to those unhappy people on the road, right? The unhappy neighbor. We walk God's path. And this psalm says day and night. To me, that speaks of the time people are watching and the time nobody's watching. There's a consistency in that the first thing in our lives is going to be God. And then we know all the rest of it is going to fall into place. And God says when we do this, when we put God first, we become flourishing like trees that are planted beside streams of water. This psalm says, happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. I used to have a tree from Psalm 1, like someone painted a tree on my office wall at my old church, and I'd look at that every day when I came in. And so imagine my joy when I came into this church, and what is front and center is the tree. And so every day, every Sunday when we come in here, I would encourage you as you sit down to just take a few minutes and look at that tree that's in our stained glass and think, that's the kind of life God promises to me. A life that is flourishing and full, where you are planted by a stream of water that nothing can take away from you because that is God. Right? This says that we won't be like normal trees that lose their leaves in the hard times in the winters. We're going to have our leaves every season because happiness is not about the weather around us. It's about having God at the center of who we are and sinking our roots deep into God's love. And so if you're feeling low on a Sunday, if you're feeling sad or discouraged, come in and just sit and look at that tree and remember these words. God longs for you to be happy. And when we put him first, we flourish. We flourish. Now, the unhappy opposite is the wicked, right? They're like chaff. Is that a word you use in daily life? No, it's an agricultural term. Chaff is like the little brown bits that are dried up that surround the wheat, and you have to get it off of the wheat, the chaff, in order to be able to grind the wheat and eat it. So chaff is what people in ancient times would try to get off of their wheat, and they would take the wheat to the threshing floor to do that. And what they would do is they put it all down, and this was often, the threshing floor was built on a hill with a really hard rock or packed dirt, and the harvester would get a pitchfork and throw the grain up into the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away, and the grain would fall to the ground whole and clean. And so this is a picture of a modern day machine. This is much more than you could do by hand, but do you see that cloud of dust? That's the chaff. So when we set our hearts on God, first of all, we become like these flourishing trees that are always planted by the waters of life. And there's fruit in our branches and our leaves are shining. And when God isn't first, when we're going after our own happiness and we're trying to grab onto it, that's when we're withered and we're dry and we could be blown away. So all we have to do if we're feeling that withered and dry, we just have to ask ourselves, oh, who's first right now? Is it myself or is it my job or am I trying to get happiness from this person? Okay, I need to recenter and remember that my happiness is in the Lord. Graduates, I look at y'all and I know that you're about to be transplanted. I think they're about to move to this whole new place and new roommates and new friends and away from family, but you're never away from the waters of life. The water of life is always right beside you because that's God. No matter where you go, he's going with you. And my prayer for you, my prayer for all of us, is that we would be happy. Happy, truly, deeply, faithfully happy. And that is possible because we will sink our roots down into God's love. We will delight in the law of the Lord. And we will hold on to that promise that no matter where we go, no matter the weather around us, no matter, God will cause us to prosper. To prosper in all we do. It's a promise. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you desire happiness for us and that you lay out the path. And the path isn't dependent on where we are or our success or any of the people around us. Our happiness comes from you, from putting you first. Help us to do that. And when we find ourselves drifting away, call us back gently. Help us to sink our roots down into those waters of life, into the nourishing soil of your love. Help us to know that no matter where we go, you're right beside us, and that you are promising that our leaves will never wither, that there will be fruit in every season, and that you will help us prosper in all we do. Thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.